My name is Loretta McDonough, and this is Sweepy Podcast, The Early Years.
Hi, my name's Fiona Kinch, and I run a Montessori school. I've been a Montessori teacher for 25 years, actually 27 years. I opened my own school 25 years ago. I run two classes each day. We have an academic year, and it's from 9 to 1 or 1 to 4. And we have two separate classes. They're very diverse and different. We follow the Montessori method. I chose the Montessori method because as a child in primary school, I had a speech impediment. And I always felt that children should have the freedom to go at their own pace to learn. Some children are socially active, some are academically active, and some just need support. And I felt I never got that support in primary school. And as a result, I fell behind because of my speech impediment. And my neighbour was a Montessori teacher. So that's how I fell into Montessori teaching, because I felt I wanted to make a difference in children's lives. And I wanted children to feel special and to support their talents, mm-hmm. whether it be in an artistic way or a social way or an academic way, and to follow the child. So,
what did you know about Montessori?
I knew it was a method of education for children up to 12 years of age. And I knew it didn't follow the curriculum of a primary school, that everybody's on page one of a workbook, because I never believed in that, even as a child, because you'll always have someone that's more academically gifted, mm-hmm. and then you have the weaker child that needs support. Mm-hmm. So that's where I found out about Montessori. I read about Montessori, did a project on it in secondary school, and I put my heart on Montessori as
very
a young girl.
Weren't you for for a young girl of that age?
Because they asked me what I wanted to be, and I wanted to be a Montessori teacher, and my heart was there. I got nursing, and I turned that down for Montessori. But when I left school, I'd done my Leaving Cert, and when I left school, I was too young. The Montessori College, AMI Montessori College in Black Rock, said, "No, you're too young. Go for a year and do something." So I ended up as an assistant in Mount Anville Montessori School, which would be a large Montessori school here in Ireland that would have children up to the age of 8.
Where's that
and
based?
It would be based in Goatstown area.
Yeah.
And it was a great, because it was sink or swim. I was thrown into the
no
world of Montessori.
No experience. Just
fell into Montessori, and it was either sink or swim. I loved the year. I learned so much.
Yeah.
I also learned I love the younger children within the school. So I love the 3 to 5 year olds. I found them so innocent and so open. Yeah. And free. So I loved that part of it. So I went into Montessori College, which was a bit of a shock. Really? I had gone from a co-ed school, mixed school, to this college down in Black Rock that was quite Victorian in the way it was run. It was run by a nun, and we were all women. And that was a bit of a shock to the system.
Nothing's changed there.
All women. And I did my 2 years full time. It was hard.
And how old were you then?
I was a very young girl. I was 18 when I started. And I qualified just before I was 21. And Ireland was a very different place then. Early years was basically preschool. It was very small sector at the time. There was very little jobs in it. At that time, Montessori was recognised within the Department of Ed.
Was it? I didn't know that. For special needs.
Now they've taken that away from Montessori, which is a great shame, because it was a wonderful training at the time, a wonderful educational training. We learned a lot about psychology, about the Montessori method, and we learned about Dr. Maria Montessori, mm-hmm. how she developed Montessori by accident. She was the first medical doctor in Italy, and in 1907 she set up a centre for children who are basically neglected through their additional needs they had or through poverty. And after a couple of years, she developed this method through the census, and these children suddenly, under Montessori's directorship, they outclass basically the normal children in brackets, and that's how Montessori was developed. It was through working with children with additional needs. And unfortunately for Montessori, the war broke out, and the two world wars affected the Montessori method, because Montessori ended up in India for World War II. So at the height of her fame, she was curtailed as such through the war. And then when she came back to Europe, Montessori swept through Europe. But unfortunately, while she was a great educator and visionary, she hadn't got the
business sense
to copyright her name. So now what has developed throughout the world is watered down Montessori.
So basically there is this, Maria Montessori started it. It was her approach. Mm. And through her practice, she learned what worked with children, either children with special needs, or children that maybe from families that needed more help than others. And then because she hadn't got the experience, or she hadn't got the business know-how, then other people could adapt that approach because it wasn't patent, is it?
Yeah, yeah. That's it, Loretta.
And is that why we have different approaches in Montessori itself?
Yeah. Yeah, so the purity in Montessori, AMI, which is Association Montessori International, they follow they are the recognised experts in Montessori, and Maria Montessori set up that association. Mm-hmm. So they would be very purist to the Montessori method.
What her
original education was for the young child, which is to follow the child. We are to go down to the child's level, observe the child and watch the child and follow that child's interests, which is which links into the new curriculum of ASTER.
Yeah.
And even the new primary curriculum is very hands-on based. It's very Montessori based as well. So good Montessori follows the child. They call it freedom within limitations. So you can do this, but you can't do that. You know, you direct a child. You follow a child, but you direct a child.
So there's like a
structured
the path. Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a reason for it. But even though the child's interest could be wheels and circles, you found that interest in the child, and now you're going to direct them and move them along to maybe exploring other
wheels.
Avenues with circles and introduce them to other. I'm only saying circles, but you know, whatever avenue they have.
Yeah. And if a child is interested in movement, you present, as we call it, exercises and movement. So they're moving a lot more. Where if a child is very quiet, you bring them out their shell. Where if a child is boisterous and loud, you're not going to shout at that child. You're going to use a gentle voice that hopefully you will be a calming presence for that child. Where a quieter child, you need to be that energetic presence to bring out that child.
Your words and your animation and your... Yeah.
And there's four areas of practical life. It follows practical life, which is the essence of Montessori. It's everyday objects we'll find in the home, whether it's pouring, whether it's spooning, whether it's washing a table, whether it's buttoning up a coat. We've all these exercises to help the child gain independence and, in the meantime, concentration. And they're working with their hands, so their hands are getting strengthened for later exercises. And Montessori discovered that children learn through their senses. The five senses of sight, hearing, touch, smell, all those senses, that they have specific exercises to heighten those senses. So the children are heightening their brain power as well through that. And if a child is not allowed to move, is not allowed to explore, their level, their potential, degrades as such. It's like a drop stitch in a knitted garment. It will be completed, but there will always be that drop stitch
for the child. Something that never picked up on.
And then we lead on into the arithmetic, the language and the geography. Language is very important to the young child because under the age of 6, they are the absorbent mind. So they are learning through the environment. Mm-hmm. They are watching and they are modelling your behaviour. If you're shouting, the child's going to shout. If you're going to push and be rough, the child's going to push and be rough. So that child, that young child is learning. They've come into the world. They're exploring the world. And we give them an individual environment that they can explore in the safety of a room. And with adults that know, that follow their interests and let them explore their interests mm-hmm. until they have satisfies their appetite in that area, and then you move on naturally, organically into a new area. Montessori also follows nature. Nature is big for Montessori. Being out in nature, exploring animals, plants, caring for the environment. Caring for plants, caring for animals, and the importance of that. So it's a fascinating,
very nurturing concept, isn't it? And I don't practice Montessori. I like my service is play based, and I always had the perception that Montessori was quite strict and very regimental, and I would have had over the years one or two experience of that. But I've seen your school and it's not that, and it's very holistic.
Holistic is the correct word, Loretta. Everything is holistic in Montessori. If the child's not happy, it's not going to learn. So we have to watch the child and support that child. And then they learn through organically, through activities they're interested in. It's not adult, you're going to do this and you're going to do that now. Montessori is not, people think it's structured. The environment is structured. We have areas. If you go into a Montessori environment, you'll see the practical life area with the little jugs, the spoons, the art and creative materials, and you will see the sensorial with the pink tower, which would be a famous piece of Montessori environment. And it's all in isolation, that pink tower. It's all pink because we want the child to focus on size rather than the different colours. And the colour tablets would be all different colours because we want the child to focus on colour. And the maths environment, you'll see each area of a Montessori environment. And it's very structured in that way. But if you go into a Montessori environment through the day, it's very different because children are at all different types of activities. Someone might be working alone. Someone might be working with a friend. And the directress should be very quiet in the environment. She should, a good Montessori always quotes, a good teacher is invisible. It's when they're not needed anymore. If you're needed to always step in, you're not a good teacher. Where if the children, and you show respect to the child, so they will show respect to each other. So I think it's a lovely method, Montessori, when it's done right. You need the right environment. You need that outside area. You need a lovely environment, and it should be beautiful to attract a child. So often you go into Montessori environments and there's pieces missing in the equipment. That's so frustrating for the child, and that's not a Montessori environment. A Montessori teacher has to keep her environment impeccable, or else it won't work.
It won't work. And also, you know the way Asher and Sheila came in, the national framework, and a lot of previously qualified Montessori teachers had to go back and re-educate and add modules to be in line with the government criteria, especially for the early years free scheme, and you all had to go back. How did that impact on your practice, having to add additional approaches to an already workable pedagogy? How did that work for you?
Asher came in. We Montessori, believe it or not, is in Ireland since 1933.
Really? That long?
Some of the most wonderful educators in the past that had given us such a history of nurturing children, whether they were children with additional needs or, just in general, the children. And it was a big shock for us. it was a big shock for us, Aster, because suddenly it came in and, oh no, it's all play-based now. It's play-based, play-based. So we looked at it. We sat down as an organisation, IMEB, Irish Montessori Education Board, and we looked at Aster and we looked at it and we read it. And basically, we felt we are meeting the criteria of Aster. I have not changed my practice since Aster came in. If anything, I can see how Aster is very Montessori based.
And it's embracing your own original ideas and bringing it in, because as you said, Montessori was child led, but you in a way that you were following the lead of the child while supporting and structuring a new learning activities and new learning curves for the child, where Aster is very child led, but at the same time, supporting its identity, its belonging, making sure that they're thinking, and with the Montessori
and exploring.
I can see it in your service that the areas that you have is the home base. It's a different way of what some people perceive as home base, where our home base would be a cooker and iron and board and telephones and things like that. Your home base is very practical, jugs and rice and natural feeling equipment, like beautifully handcrafted, and that you want to touch it and it makes you want to turn, you know, close that button on that horse and to pour the rice into the bowl and mix the water, and it's it is but you knew you were doing it, so it was very little change.
The only change would be the documentation.
Oh gosh,
the paperwork.
Tell me, Fiona, tell me where's your woes
the paperwork, the documentation that has come in from the government. While it's warranted, it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to be writing up, because you want to work with the child. You're observing that child. There is three people in my class and we are there every day.
Three adults, three teachers.
We know what's happening within that room, but we have to document that now. And it's very time consuming. And if my point would be that takes away from our work with the children, because one of us has to go away and write up documentation for inspectors that come in.
So you're taking an adult from an environment where the three adults were there. And did you never have two? You know, the way you were saying the Montessori, you observe a child, you follow the lead. Was there paperwork involved in that observing beforehand?
There was a little bit, Loretta, but not on to the extent of what's happening now. And our learning journals, that's a new thing for me. And it's very good. The children would have brought home art activities and work on a weekly, daily basis.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, it was more organic. Now we have scrapbooks with writing what the child has done and why we're doing this. And while it's very good for parents to see, it's putting an awful lot of work on early years educators, because that 2-3 hours that you're writing up this, we could be working with the children. Yeah. We could be preparing class for the children,
and activities. Yeah.
But instead of that, now we're writing scrapbooks, and they're beautiful and the parents love them. So I have to adapt and change. I know that. But for me personally, I find it a big pressure. Aster and Sheila are good frameworks, and I think my interactions with the parents are better due to them. But because I understand now Brompton Brenner and all those theorists, how important is the home life, where when I was a young girl straight out of college, I was going to change the world. And once you're in a Montessori environment, you'd become this perfect child with experience. Now I know that does not happen unless we work as a team, and I accept that. That's where I've changed mostly due to in the latter years.
Really positively affects the practice then. So the partnership of parent and collaboration, it is having a positive effect on the children and in your practice. Recently, you went back and you did your degree.
I did my degree.
Congratulations on your graduation. And I know how it was for you, because I was in your class, so I kind of know, we worked on it together. Yeah. But why did you feel, because you're obviously a very practice Montessori teacher and you've years of experience and could write the book on it probably now, even though we're learning all the time. Why did you feel a need to go and get the higher qualification for yourself? Like, why?
I felt the higher qualification. I had done many courses through the Child Care Committee on child protection, documentation and just casual courses. And then one day in the newspaper, I seen this course, Level 7, NUI Galway Outreach. And I thought, I could do that. I always wanted to get a degree. It was always in my yearning, even though the Montessori is a Level 7. I always felt, because they're not officially on the framework AMI, they're an international diploma, so they're waiting to go on that framework.
Yes.
I feel I wanted that higher level. I wanted a level 8. I initially went into that degree going, I'm exiting at second year.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd have a level 7. And then once I got in, I realised, no, you need to do four years to get your level 8. And but I've learned so much through that course and my degree. The degree has educated me into the psychology and why we do what we do. My practice has changed to a point, but my own education has increased twofold.
So you're within yourself. The degree has had an effect on probably the way you look at things, maybe, and the reason for these things should be put in place.
And I feel a professional now.
Yes.
I feel I can stand up against anyone now because I have a level 8 degree and I say, I am an education person here. I know what I'm doing here. And I think, especially with children with atypical behaviours and additional needs, that course has given me the tools to cope with the children I am meeting now within the Montessori school. I'm finding more and more, maybe because of my higher degree, I'm meeting and I'm recognising more and more atypical behaviours and children with additional needs. So I'm able to approach parents and ask to get support for their child or maybe to get an assessment for their child, where before I probably wouldn't have noticed as much hand on heart, but now I can see children with additional needs. And I thought it was nice as well, because this job is quite a lonely job. It was nice to be with a group of women that were passionate about what they were working in, and it was lovely, the sense of community within the women themselves.
Like-mindedness. So, everybody was there because they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And they all wanted to improve the career. And it's very interesting that you say that, listening to you, talking to parents and how you felt yourself as a profession, because you had that, even though you were a teacher for 20 odd years and ran your own practice and so many children going through that you've taught and probably grown up now and having their own children or, you know, coming back as students, that you needed the, it was like a recognition of sorts to say, well,
it's a validation. And I think, you know, I think Ireland at the moment is at the cusp, and I hope it doesn't throw Montessori out. I hope there's enough good Montessori schools out there that parents will see the value of a good Montessori school. I know the Montessori or the government's agenda is more play-based, and I can understand that, but Montessori has a lot to give children in Ireland. And I think, unfortunately, my college has closed down that I did my degree in. They are opening in Griffith College, which was good to hear. But I do worry, Montessori has given Ireland such service since 1933. And I think it would be an awful shame, through lack of funding and pressure, that Montessori schools are closing. And I think that's very sad, because to equip a Montessori room costs about 20,000. Where if you have a play-based room, it's far cheaper to equip. And I'm not knocking play-based. I have a deep respect for each tradition within early years. But the Montessori Because of lack of government funding, more and more Montessoris are closing down, or they're washing them down, themselves down to a little bit play-based, a little bit Montessori, mm-hmm. and that's not going to work. It has to be play-based or Montessori, for the child to develop within the environment. Because I think if you're a little bit of this, a little bit of that, it doesn't really work. There's no okay. continuity there.
And you're confusing the method.
Yeah.
For the and child. Fiona, now, going forward, in your opinion, what do you hope for, or what do you see for the future of early years education and care in Ireland?
I think early years education and care in Ireland is in crisis. I would be deeply concerned. I think, for example, I'm an early years educator, teacher. I always see myself as that. The government has put practitioner, this funny word nobody likes, on us.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, where did it come from? Yeah. And I personally believe it's because the government does not want to pay us teachers' salaries. And that's very sad, because I've wonderful girls working for me and they deserve a proper salary, and they're not getting it because we cannot afford to pay them. So we in the media, we are demonized as money grabbers, and it's further from the truth. The government took over my Montessori school in 2010 through the ECCE scheme. What other company would let a government take over, and they have reduced my income substantially, and therefore unfortunately I know my quality would not be what it was in 2010, and in the media we're portrayed as money grabbers, and parents are putting pressure on us through the view that we are money grabbers to provide quality at a very low cost price. And as a result, early years educators are under stress from the government, from parents, and from society. Modern day living with young children. We have a lot of stresses coming in through the door that we wouldn't have had 25 years ago. Is it, it might be overexposure to screen time. It might be new blended families. Even everything is changing in society, and yet we've no support from the government, no proper training to meet the demands of the families we are encountering every day. So I think we're in total crisis in regards to employment and in regards to the vision. What is the goal of the government in early years? I don't think they quite know, because the goalposts are changing each year within the ECCE, the remit of the ECCE. I had a family who left me last week because they cannot join the ECCE until September 2019, which is very sad for their child. Yeah. So Loretta, I hand on heart, I love my job. But will we be here in 10 years' time? I don't think so. Unless something shifts in Ireland, we are not going to be able to survive, which is sad. And Montessori, it will be the death knell for Montessori, true Montessori, pure Montessori.
Do you think that because of the lack of recognition for wages, you were saying that you're not able to pay the girls the money that you feel they should get, that you think that young women will not come into this sector?
Yes.
Because it's not professionalised.
So. I had a girl came in for her TY practice for last week. She was with me as a little 3-year-old. She came back as a 16-year-old. She wanted to do early years. I told her no. No future. Nobody. I told her what the average wage was and she was horrified. And I said it would be easier to work in Dunn's. And less stressful, less responsibility. And I'm not knocking someone that works in Dunn's, but
it's retail. It is actually retail.
I'm not knocking the girls that work or the guys that work in retail, but it is a huge responsibility. We have the future of a little child's life in our hands, and we are not being respected by society for that. And if it goes wrong, it goes wrong horribly. And if it goes right, it's wonderful to see. But nobody respects what we do on a daily basis. And that's very, very worrying and sad.
Yeah,
very sad.
Well, on that note, Fiona,
we shall
leave it there for today.
And we'll have a cup of coffee.
And we'll review it. And hopefully there is change about. I think the more we talk about it and the more we have conversations like this and the more people are aware of what's going on, I think there can be change made. But we need to start talking about it and people need to listen.
Yeah, we need support.
Yeah.
You're right, Loretta. Thanks.
Thanks, Fiona. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Sweet Pea Podcast, The Early Years with Loretta McDonough. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and do share the podcast with friends, colleagues, or students who may be interested. And please rate and review us on iTunes. If you've got something you'd love us to cover, drop us an email at sppodcasttheearlyyears@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter or check our webpage at sweetpeapodcast.ie. Thank you for listening, and until the next time, be kind to yourself and take care.